Thank y'all. So glad to be able to take this time to walk through these Psalms. Thank you, Tyler, for mentioning. I was going to say, if you wonder why I'm doing two Psalms, I'm really not. There is a chapter break, and I'm assured whoever made these chapters some 600-700 years ago had a reason for it. So we won't ignore that completely, but we can notice just by the fact that there is only one header and that there are these choruses or refrains that are repeated throughout 42 and into 43, that we can be confident that this is one psalm that is supposed to teach us something great. So if you want to look on the screen, the words will be there. This is from the ESV. It's just the easiest one for me to go from. It's what I'm used to. So, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. Well, they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon and the Mount of Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All the breakers, your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the opposition of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and the unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Amen. This psalm is beautiful, and I'm especially appreciative to be doing a psalm, being that my role here takes me to doing a lot of music, doing a lot of singing. I've written songs for years. I've played in bands and things. So songs are just kind of my heart language. It's how I get things out. So to be able to preach through a song in scripture is this is what I love to see. So I'm excited to walk through this. I think there's some beauty in music. I think we can all recognize there are songs in our lives that just touch our souls in ways that we can't understand. That a word or a poem alone doesn't quite hit us the same way. We're going to sing a song later. Let me get to the words. It's called Lord, I Need You. And it's cool how we use these things called verses and choruses or refrains or whatever you want to call them. And each time you come back to that chorus or refrain, it hits you a little different. So the song we'll sing later, Lord, I Need You, it begins by confessing before the Lord. We fall down before him, and then we say, Lord, I need you. The feeling that we have after confessing our sins and falling down on our knees and calling out, Lord, I need you, versus at the end, after we've said, so teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. And then we say, Lord, I'll need you. It's a different stature. I'm no longer on my knees, but I'm reaching up to God like a child that reaches for his father. And I think this psalm today does that. It takes us through this journey where we see first a downcast soul, someone that is in the midst of turmoil, that just doesn't know what to do, says, why have you cast me off, Lord? Not because he actually believes that he's been cast off, but it feels that way. But at the end, he begins to pass it on to the Lord. So our sort of pattern today, I forgot to put up, all I have for this sermon is a journey through lament. I believe this psalm has given us a great framework for seeing what we should do in time of lament. So maybe today you're not lamenting. And if you're not, then rejoice, for the Lord is good. Like we were singing, Christ came and died for us that we now no longer bear the condemnation and the guilt and the pain that we deserve. We stand in awe and glory of the Lord who took it on himself, that we might be able to be called children of God. So rejoice in that. But if you are lamenting today, please use this psalm in that process as we go through lamenting. So let's use this as a journey of lament. So this psalm is sort of broken up in three parts, and it's very easy to see the three parts with these refrains. So the first one I just want to call recognition. So this is verses one through several. Let me get the right number, how many verses we have here. The first several, before the first refrain. But all that he's doing is recognizing his state and recognizing the things he remembers. Do we express the way that we feel in this way? We must turn to the Lord with our feelings. We don't proclaim our feelings as truth. A lot of times we feel things that, though the feeling is real, the situation may not be. But because the feeling is real, we need to tell our Lord. As a child walks up to his father and says, I'm in so much pain, I'm going to die, I can't do it. And clearly all they did was trip and fall and have a little scrape on their knee. I was blessed this week. I was able to go with my niece and nephew. They're 5 and 2 years old, and we were at a water park, and my 5-year-old nephew loved the slides, except for one of them that he would not go on ever again, because it was the most traumatizing thing in his entire life. And every time we asked him to go on it, he reminded us that it was the scariest thing in the world, and he could never go on it because it's too big and it's too fast, and there's all these drops and these twists and turns that weren't there, but because he was scared the first time, that's all he remembers. So not that it's true that that slide was extra scary, but his fear was, and he says it to us. Now, one day we may go back to the water park, and he'll be a little bigger, and he'll go on the slide, and he'll be like, I don't know why I kept screaming, because this is the greatest slide I've ever been on, even though it's one of 5 slides he's ever been on at age 5. But it was a beautiful recognition of the same thing we see here. Let's look at the words that this psalmist gives to us. I want to give us a little just note, that we look at the intro to this, to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. We don't know what a maskil is. It's some sort of a song. It's used in here, but we don't translate it into any other English word because we don't have a good right translation for what it is. But we do know who the sons of Korah are. We preached through Numbers a while back, and it's incredible to see what the sons of Korah do. They often are the worship leaders in the synagogues and in the temple, and they're called to lead worship for the people. Yet, if you know who Korah was back in Numbers, he was rising a revolt. He thought that the Lord had done nothing for them. He was rising up against Moses so much that Korah and all his followers, God opened up the earth and swallowed them whole. And now his sons are leading worship in the temple. So if anyone knows some lament that all of his ancestors were swallowed up by the Lord, but now he sees the goodness of the Lord and now is praising. This is a person that understands pain and suffering in his past. Let's see this first word. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. Do we cry out to the Lord like this? I in high school, I was a Boy Scout. I got my Eagle Scout, and I did this process called Order of the Arrow. If any of y'all were in it, we were told to not tell anything about this, but I'm going to say some of it anyway. I won't give up all the secrets. But to get in, you go off and you do a cool weekend thing, initiation and stuff. But they don't tell you much, but you find out early on in the weekend that you're not going to eat for about 24 hours while doing physical labor, all these things. It's more just to build endurance and different things and a little just light hazing, not in the bad sense, but just to make sure that you really want to be a part of this group. But so we get into it, and the first couple hours aren't bad. You're just sleeping, and it's normal to not eat. But then you start doing work, and you start getting hungry, and they don't give you food. And you do more work, and you get more hungry, and they still don't give you food. And then at lunch, they're like, hey, it is lunchtime. We're going to give you some food. So they hand you one slice of white bread. That was the greatest slice of white bread I have ever eaten in my entire life, because I'd been lifting pallets and cutting trees down and setting up these like 800-pound tents, which I don't know why they can't find lighter tents at this camp. We're doing this and we're sweating, and they did give us water. We did have water. That is very necessary for what we were doing. But we get to that, and that was the greatest slice of white, plain white bread I've ever had. And then we work for another 8 hours, getting nothing else to eat. So by the time night comes, and it's been the full 24 hours, they gave us some meal. I don't know what we ate, but it was a 5-star dinner. And we were busting down the doors of this absolutely terrible cafeteria because we wanted whatever was inside, even though I'm sure it was like a ham and cheese sandwich that somebody had left out for a couple days. But that feeling of being so hungry and so thirsty, there's times in our lives that we are in so much pain, whether it's from the passing of a loved one, whether it's from just missing friends, missing people we haven't seen in a while, being just doing daily work, having life thrown at you again and again and again, that it feels like it's relentless, and all you can do is just kind of float along because you don't know what's coming next, and you just sit there and you wonder, is this ever going to end? Is my pain and my suffering ever going to go away? And that feeling is very similar to hunger. And so that's why we have this idea, as the deer pants for water, streams of water, so our souls thirst for God. So we need to remember that when we are in these times of turmoil, don't think that you can't speak feelings to the Lord. One, he already knows them. He's God. And two, like a father wants to hear from his child, so God wants to hear from us. But we do recognize that though our feelings may not be true, it's just the feeling that we have at the moment, we also have to remind ourselves of truths that we know. So he continues on, and he says I'm going to lose it now. I'm looking at the wrong chapter. That's why I lost it. He says later, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation, my God. He reminds us that he knows that the Lord is good, and he knows that he may not be rejoicing now, but he will one day. So as we go from recognizing our state of pain, we then go to a refrain. That's this refrain that we're going to hear over and over again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. I shall again praise him, my salvation, and my God. Is this the way that we speak to ourselves in pain? I know I often don't. I often just want to talk about my pain and assume that that's just fine, but I need to remind myself daily that there is a refrain that I can do. But I want us to, when we refrain this way, I want us to do it like the psalmist. He both recognizes his feeling and he says, "Why are you cast down?" But he also recognizes the truth of God, for he's my salvation and my God. I was, while preparing this sermon, I listened to Tim Keller walk through this as a sort of devotion, and he made a really good point. He said in the time when this was written and Greek culture was great, the idea was that the mind was way greater than the heart. And if you had feelings or things in your heart, you needed to repress them because what you know here is way greater than that. So you have to control everything through your mind. Well, today, I think we can see in our culture, it's very much the opposite. It's our mind may tell us one thing, but it's we got to figure out what we feel. We need to figure out what we feel inside and then make that a reality. Conform our minds to the way our hearts feel. But Tim Keller responded that this psalm, as well as the whole count of Scripture, isn't just the middle ground between those two, but it's completely in the opposition of both. We remember that our heads are faulty, our knowledge is limited. We must be humble in that, and we must recognize our feelings, but we also must recognize that our feelings are faulty, and we feel things that aren't actually there, and we know things that are greater than just our feelings. So we need to both run to truth that we know, and I believe that we here would say that our truth is Scripture. I believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God and useful for correction, training, rebuke, and all the other words that I can't remember from 1 Timothy there. And so we hold true that what the Lord has told us is true. Here, they haven't even seen Christ yet. They've seen glimpses. They've seen this expectation of a Messiah for salvation, but they haven't seen it yet. And yet, the psalmist says, "My salvation and my God." He's seen how they've gone from exile in Egypt and brought to a promised land. He's seen times right now, even this psalmist is in a sort of exile. We don't know exactly the time that he was in exile, but we see this next section that we'll get into in just a moment, that he was far off. He wasn't in the temple anymore. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was desolate. He was up in the north. He was far off from the Lord. But even then, he knows the Lord is his salvation. So now we, looking back on Christ, seeing that he came down, took the weight of sin on himself, and said, "All you have to do is repent and believe and follow me." We can so much more say, "My salvation and my God." He's restored our souls. He's entered us. He's given us his Holy Spirit that he was only seeing as a glimpse when writing the psalm, but it's so much more true now. So that's kind of rotation one. The next one we get into is our response. The second verse is the psalmist giving us a response. I like how he says in verse 7, "Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfall. All your breakers, your waves have gone over me." He understands that the Lord is in control. Our God is sovereign. Nothing happens to us outside of his control. So even though maybe not every single thing that hit against him was something the Lord was enacting on him, there were things that evil people were doing to them, things that the devil was tempting him away from. There was a sovereign nature of our God. He says, "All your breakers have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me." So he recognizes he is in pain, he's in distress, he's in a time of lament, but he responds that the Lord's love is with him still. Even though he wasn't in the sanctuary, which in that time, the Lord wasn't in all believers like we have it today. He was in one place. He was at the temple. Now, he is with us always. The Lord is omnipresent. But his main presence was in the temple. So when he was far away, he wasn't with the Lord. Yet still, his song is within him. I know for myself, when I'm in pain and strife, I lean on a guitar, I sing. I hope that you would do the same. There are so many of these songs that can uplift our soul. Just the one we sang before, how deep the Father's love for us. We can sing it over and over again, and we have these really cool things called phones that can pull up any lyric of any song that you ever wanted. So if you don't remember them, you can find it. And you can sing it, and you can listen to a recording, and you can sing along with it. I know this morning I was just having a tough morning, and so I listened to these songs that reminded me that the Lord is good. He's been good to me before. He brought me out of sin and darkness, and he'll be good to me again. Even though it's not really lament, it was just a tough morning. Woke up a little tired and not ready to do all the things of gathering with people. But I remember these songs, that as deep calls out to deep, the roar of your waterfalls, all the breakers, your waves have gone over me, commands of your steadfast love, your song is with me in the night, a prayer to God of my life. And then he says, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? He questions God. But not because he doesn't know the answers, because he says, as the deadly wounds in my bone of the adversary, they ask me, where is God? Then he comes back to this refrain again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, my salvation and my God. He comes back to the same refrain. He had a very different verse. He was understanding that maybe not all his feelings were right, and he was recognizing the truth of the Lord, and he comes back to the same refrain again. Hope in God. Do we speak to ourselves in lament this way? I know I often, when I'm troubled, I don't want to tell myself things. I just want to feel. But we remember, we need to tell ourselves things. It brings us to a better place. We even see there's some aspects of people in psychology and in counseling that self-talk is a good thing. Speaking out loud to yourself is a good thing. And it's true. Speaking out loud to yourself is a good thing. Reminding yourselves of truths. Because when you're in your head, I know a lot of people can say that the scariest place to be is alone with your own thoughts. And it's true. It's true, that can be the scariest place. But we also know that within our own thoughts, we can remember these things and we can say to ourselves, hope in God. I'll praise again. I'll praise my Lord again, my salvation, my God, my rock, the one who's always been there for me. And if he's not been there for you before, he's there. He stands at the door and knocks. He calls out to you to come, to rest in him, to rest in the Lord. And so as we refrain, we go into this next one, and it's release. Psalm 43, and I think this is probably why whoever put in the numbers for the Psalms put this next verse in there, or this next chapter in there. It's because the feeling in this verse is so much different than the first two. He doesn't come crying about his pain or his suffering. He falls on the Lord. He says, vindicate me, O God. Defend my cause against an ungodly people. For the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. And then he asks, not again, not that he believes it, but that he feels it. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? 3 and 4, I think, are probably my favorite verses in here. Send out your light, your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling, that I'll go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. Oh God, my God. He's come to a new place. He's not done lamenting. We'll see that as we come to this refrain at the end. He's not done lamenting yet, but he's definitely in a different place. He knows he can't do it. We can't do it. We can't do it on our own. Anytime you've felt pain or suffering, you know you need someone there. And the Lord is there. So even as we say these things, why have you rejected me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? We have to remind ourselves. We have to speak truth to ourselves and remember that we can't do it. But the Lord has said, you can lean on me. You can fall into my lap. You can let it all go. It's okay. There's something greater. There's something beyond now. We have a promise from the Lord when he came back from the dead. He promised there's more. You read through Revelation, you can see that there is a new heavens and a new earth, something so much greater. But even now, there's a kingdom of God that we can be a part of. We can see the Lord now. We can see him in Scripture. We can see him in the way that he acts, the way he has lifted people up before. If you've been through trials, and you've been through hard times, and the Lord has lifted you, tell people. People often want to talk about the term of evangelism as this big, crazy thing. It's not. It's telling people that the Lord is good. He's taking you from a place of pain to a place of comfort. And even if you're now in pain, you know that there is comfort, either in this life or the one to come. There's no reason to fear. There's no reason to be anxious. We will be anxious. There's no reason to be, for the Lord is good. Let me just read these verses again. I could try to say them in different words, but I don't think the poetry and the imagery would come out right. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, to your dwelling. How beautiful is it when somebody asks to come over to your house? I know when my friends have been in pain because a girlfriend broke up with them, or they didn't get the job that they wanted, or whatever the thing, they cause them real pain. When they say, hey, can I come hang out with you? It's beautiful. And when you call on that friend that you need in times of pain and you say, I just need someone to cry on their shoulder, and they say, yeah, come over. Let's eat ice cream. Let's do what we need to do. You know how great that feeling is? How much greater is it that the Creator God, the Lord of all creation, the one who made you and me, he says we can do that with him too. He'll lead us to his holy hill, to his dwelling. And then we'll go to the altar of God. To God, my exceeding joy, I will praise you with the guitar. My God. And then again, even at this place, we refrain once again. And I hope these words hit you differently, because they hit me differently when I get to it the third time. And say, why are you cast down, O my soul? It almost sounds sarcastic. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him again, my salvation and my God. We'll sing songs again. We'll be joyful again. So wherever you are, I want us to remind ourselves that this is a great pathway for lament. This morning, you might be in verse 1. You might just be feeling pain. You might just need to yell to the Lord. Maybe not where you're going to scare people. Maybe go in like a closet or something, get a pillow, and just cry out. He hears you. Maybe you're at stage two. Maybe you're at verse two. Maybe you've cried out, but you're starting to get it. You understand that the truth of Scripture is there. That God's salvation is true. That He can bring comfort. He's given you a church to come to. To lean your head on their shoulders. I hope that's what we do with one another here. That we're a church that like in the New Testament, we see they know us by the way we love each other. We're there for each other in times of pain, but also in times of joy. And maybe today you're at part three. You just say, Lord, I can't do it anymore, but I know you can. I know you got me. And you just gotta let it go. You release it. And maybe you're past all of these. Maybe you're not in a time of lament, but you will be. If we do what the Lord has called us to do, He's promised us that people aren't gonna like the news that there's only one way to God. It's not easy news to know that there's only one way to God, but it's easy news to know that there's one way to God, and it's not because of us. It's not because of something I do. It's not because of something that I can achieve or to a state of being so strong that I don't lament anymore or being so strong that I'm always just joyful all the time. Though I believe in the Lord, we will be more joyful because the things of the world are passing. These pains, just like my nephew that's 5 years old and is scared of a water slide that will never hurt him. We see things that they look like they'll hurt us now, and we can be confident that the Lord has something more for us. So we refrain, and when we practice this psalm. So I think that I want us to practice this now. I think there's a beautiful song that we've even been singing. I don't think I know. There's a song we've been singing. It's called "Lord, from Sorrows Deep I Call." The words aren't exactly like Psalm 42, but they're drawn from it. And when we put these words to melody, there's something about them. There's something different. I think a lot of us know people that on their deathbed, they can't speak well, or they've been going through Alzheimer's or whatever. They just don't remember things well. But I know from at least my own grandmother, she sat there for like 2 months in nursing home. You could sit there and try to talk to her all day long. Nothing was going to hit her until my dad sang hymns. And she'd both sing along, and it was the only words we heard my grandmother say. And she'd also say that wasn't the right word, son, when my dad would mess up, because she knew it. There's something about music that affects us differently. We remember it differently. So I want us to sing, Jonathan, if you'll come up here. The words are going to be on the screen, and I'll click through these words. The song is "Lord, from Sorrows Deep I Call." It's from Psalm 42. If we'll stand, let's sing this psalm together. Whether you're in the place of lament now or not, let's sing it to each other.